Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's Word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to get right back into the book of Colossians, and I'm excited about these upcoming months, and we have had a very busy summer. We thank the Lord we had some vacation time. We had opportunity to minister on the mission field, but we're back in the saddle now and moving right all the way through to Christmas. And I want you to pray for us as we preach, and this week we'll be having some staff training, and we have a lot of things getting ready for school and college, and then, of course, right into a very busy preaching season, and I'm excited about every single message. I've been working on these things for many weeks, and I want you to pray, but we'll be right here in the book of Colossians through the fall, and I'm excited about this particular book because of its doctrinal content, and I hope that you will grow in love for the Lord and also in your knowledge of the Lord through this time. So we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to be in verses 20 through 23 tonight. We covered verse 22 weeks ago, but we're going to read right down through verse 23. We'll kind of review verse 20 in the process. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the far-reaching effects of the gospel. From heart to heart, from nation to nation, you give peace through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would help us not only to glory in the cross, but also to share the good news of the cross. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A few weeks ago, we saw that Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church, and that in all things, he should have the preeminence. And I thank the Lord tonight that he has provided for us salvation by the shedding of his blood. I thank the Lord that he's provided for us the church whereby we might gather around his word. But I'm so thankful tonight that he is the head of the church. There is an erroneous teaching that Peter was the first pope and that he passed the succession of that headship of the church from man to man. And I got to tell you something. If God wanted the head of his church to be still alive today, it wouldn't be chosen by a bunch of hooded men in a little room who sent up a puff of smoke from the Vatican. God would make it much clearer than that. And I want you to know there is one head of the church, and he does not live in Rome, but he is seated at the right hand of the Father tonight. And the Bible tells us in this passage, as we read a few weeks ago, in verse number 18, that as the head of the church, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And I believe tonight that one of the great reasons we extol the magnificence of Jesus Christ and the reason that we lift him up as the preeminent one is because Jesus is the great peace giver. He is the one that brings peace to the heart of a sin-sick soul. And how we thank the Lord tonight for human relationships, how we thank the Lord for faithful missionaries like Brother Martin and for faithful men like saying on this platform, and I appreciate the encouragement of a church toward me as the pastor teacher here in this place. What an honor to preach the Word of God. And while we believe in giving gratitude and thanksgiving, it cannot be said loud enough. It cannot be said long enough. And we will for all of eternity give praise and honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the preeminent Son of God and the head of the church. Every pastor who ministers with even a kindergarten level of understanding understands that he is under authority. He is under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Jesus is the preeminent one. And you know what my job is tonight? And you know what your job is tonight? To make Jesus look good, to glorify him, to magnify him, and to be grateful to him for all that he has done for us. Now, much of the world tonight clamors for peace. They try to find it in Oslo with the Oslo Accords, and in the city of New York, we made one of the great mistakes of our national history in giving 18 acres to the United Nations so that they can spend our tax dollars, which we cannot afford to give, to try to make peace, which they cannot seem to find. It seems like everyone's trying somehow to find this elusive dream of peace with God. Yesterday morning, as I was walking across the parking lot, there were three somewhat troubled teenagers that came into the parking area, and they looked nervous and a little bit out of place. And I went up to them. I said, "Hey, fellas, can I help you with anything?" And they said, "Oh, we're having a real problem, and we need to talk to somebody." And I called Brother Chapel. I said, "Hey, there's some guys here that have some troubles. They look to be teenagers. I want you to talk to them." And I had another appointment later in the day. I was talking to Larry, and he said, "Those young men," he said, "they had been playing last night with a Ouija board, and they'd been trying somehow to get in touch with the spirit world through this Ouija board, and they were so shaken, they were so afraid, they felt like bad things were happening in their house." And by the way, you go to the devil's artifacts to try to find peace, bad things are going to happen in your house. You think you can play all of this rotten rock and roll music, this wicked Black Sabbath, Blue Oyster Cult, whatever the groups are today. You think you can listen to all of this gangbang type music. You think you can play with Ouija boards. You think you can listen to these people like Lady Gaga, who are nothing more than demonic types of people. You think you can play that in your home and pump that in your ears and have peace? You are absolutely wrong. You will have the absence of peace. And Jesus Christ came to a world that was under satanic influence, and the world is under satanic influence tonight. But I'm glad to say that we have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that we are a blood-washed people, that we are a called-out assembly, and that we have peace tonight because we have Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I love the Christmas season, and I one of the greatest challenges as a pastor 20-some years later is preaching the same verses and the same seasonal times over and over again and asking the Lord, "Help me to keep it fresh." But you know what? I got to tell you something. Sometimes the same verses said the same way every single year are still fresh to me. And one of them is Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God." Did you get that? Jesus is called Mighty God. Jesus is called the Everlasting Father. But here's the last characteristic. He is referred to as the Prince of Peace. And I thank God that one day Jesus will step out of eternity. He will step onto his throne, and he will rule and reign on this planet. But I'm not going to wait until then to know him and to know his peace, because he wants me to know that right now tonight. And I want you to learn with me briefly tonight about his peace. And I want you to see in the scriptures how that Jesus Christ brings peace to his children. Notice first of all tonight the payment of peace. When we come to the Word of God, we see that there was a payment made. We all have been saved long enough, no doubt, most of us, to know that we were at enmity with God. Our sin separated us from God. There was no hope. Our righteousness was as filthy rags. But the Bible says here in verse number 20, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself." Let me tell you what, redemption is all about God. It starts with God, it finishes with God, it's by him, and it's to reconcile us unto him. And I thank God tonight for the payment of peace. It was a sacrificial payment. It was the blood that was shed. 1 Peter 1:16, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I thank God tonight for the shedding of the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And oh, listen tonight. I want you to see in the scriptures, verse number 20, He has made peace by the blood of His cross by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. Listen, peace is not made by us. It's not made by a church. It's not made by keeping sacraments. It's not made by doing good works. It is by Him. Would you say those two words with me? By Him. Peace is by Him. It's by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 1 and verse 3. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. He has washed us from our sin in His own blood. Hebrews 9 and verse 10. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once to the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Listen tonight. Had Jesus Christ not come and shed His blood on that old rugged cross, we would be without hope tonight for heaven. And a lot of times people emphasize the coming of Jesus, the life of Jesus, and sometimes they mention the death of Jesus. But the scriptures are very clear that it was the death by the shedding of His blood for the atonement of our sin. It was a sacrificial payment. But look at verse 21. The Bible says here, and you, speaking to the Colossian church, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. They were alienated. They were estranged. They were separated from God because of their false thoughts about Him, because of their prideful thoughts about God, and sometimes thinking that there was no God. They were enemies and rejectors of God. And yet God says, I have reconciled you. I have brought you back unto Myself, it says in verse 20. Reconcile all things unto Himself. And I thank the Lord tonight that He's in the reconciling business. You know, the devil is in the break up the family business, the break up the relationship business, the keeping people away from God business. But God is in the reconciling business. It always amazes me that in the human relationships, there are those who almost seem to rejoice when other people's relationships break. You know, I think it breaks God's heart. Because the very nature of God is to bring people and to restore them back unto Himself. And yet even religious people do not understand that God is the reconciler. Every year we hear on the news and have seen the pictures perhaps, and some of you perhaps have seen it personally in the Philippines, normally 2 to 3 dozen men every single Easter season, and they beat themselves with whips and hang themselves on the cross, and they literally go through that pain trying somehow in that way of penance to please God. Others will cut themselves. Others will crawl up steps of different religious houses trying somehow to find their redemption. Every year there are some 1 million people who will find their way in India to the Ganges River, and these Hindus will run into that river risking many times attacks and sickness and difficulty, and they want the goddess of the Mother Ganges somehow to wash away their wickedness and give them a place with God. And I'm just saying tonight, aren't you glad you don't have to crucify yourself? Aren't you glad you don't have to go into a crocodile-infested river? Aren't you thankful tonight that the Son of God paid that price for you? You see, tonight we have something for which we should be so very, very thankful. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And so the payment of peace is the blood of Jesus Christ which was shed. And sometimes people say, well, what's the difference between all the religions? And you know, can't we just all get along? And I want to tell you something. Any religion that denies the efficacy of the shed blood of Jesus Christ is not our friend. It is not the friend of a lost sinner. Any religion that denies the blood of Jesus Christ is a damnable, heretical religion. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 9:22 that without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission for sins. And so we thank the Lord tonight that He shed His blood. And you know, next Sunday night, we'll take the Lord's table. Next Sunday night, we'll have the cup. Next Sunday night, we'll have the bread, and we'll remember the broken body, and we'll remember the shed blood. But let me just encourage you tonight, don't wait until next Sunday night to focus on it. But throughout this week, give thanks to the Lord for what He's done for you. The payment of peace is the blood. But I want you to notice, secondly tonight, the position of peace. God has not only forgiven us and reconciled us, but now the text develops what that means in verse 22. It says, in the body of His flesh, speaking of this reconciliation, it was done in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Now notice that this particular position of peace is mentioned in three different ways. It is mentioned, first of all, in that God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, will present us holy before Himself. And you saw that in verse number 20, that by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. Jesus Christ is reconciling us with God through the shedding of the blood, and He's giving us a position. And that position is described as a holy position. We are reconciled to God. We are at peace with God, and we have a holy standing. Now, mind you, it is not self-righteousness that brings us to the presence of God. We do not enter into the holiest in prayer because we are righteous or because we are good. There is only one reason that we enter into the holiest, and that's by way of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's all because of what He did, the position that we have. It's not that we're holy. Some people think that because they do certain things and don't do certain things, then they are really holy. Let me tell you why you're holy if you are. It's because Jesus' blood has washed your sins away. Now, there is a practical sanctification, and we should walk in holiness practically. But we must always remember that none of us are holy, none of us are worthy to partake of the Lord's table, to be in this place tonight, were it not for what Jesus did in forgiving us and giving us a standing before God. There was a Sunday school teacher that was a little bit filled with that self-righteous attitude, and he was speaking to the boys of his class, and he was trying to tell them about the Christian life. He said, fellas, he said, now, why do you think people call me a Christian? And one of the little boys raised his hand at the back. He said, maybe it's because they don't really know you. Now, let me tell you something. Without the shedding of the blood, none of us have a chance. None of us have that holy position that is spoken of here. And so the Bible says that He has made peace through the blood of His cross, but He has then reconciled us. And then it says in verse 22 that He has given us a position that is holy before God. Secondly, it is described as being a position that is unblameable, valid. It is free from valid charge. In other words, our sins are as far as the east is from the west. And thank the Lord for that tonight, that He has placed us in a position that is holy, that is unblameable. How many of you know that the devil is the accuser of the brethren? But thank God tonight, the Father does not see nor hear because our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are unblameable, free from all valid charge. And then not only holy and unblameable, but notice that third word there in verse 22, unreprovable. Once we have been reconciled to God, once we are under this blood that Jesus shed, now then we cannot be reproved in the sense of losing our standing before God. In fact, turn if you would to Romans for just a minute, chapter 8, and just be reminded of how great this standing is, this position of peace, just how great it is. Romans chapter 8, and no doubt you've read this before, but just to see how your standing is before God in Christ, Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, just for a moment. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Did you see that? It is God that justifieth. How can God justify a worldly sinner like you and me? How can God do that? Only by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is God that justifieth. And sometimes people might say, well, you don't make my mark, and I don't think you're a very good Christian, and I just don't think this, and I don't think that. And how many of you are glad that it really doesn't matter what they think, so long as you are right with God because of Jesus Christ? You're justified. Look at that in verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, and also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yea, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Talk about a position of security. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Why do we sing about the blood? Why do we extol the virtue of Christ? Why do we give him praise and honor as the preeminent one in his church? Because without the shedding of the blood, we would not have a place tonight with him before God. Oh, listen tonight. The payment that was made was the blood. And the position that is given is a position of peace at the table of God by way of Christ and his mercy. But notice thirdly tonight, the practicality of this peace. This peace is not simply something that gives us a sense of security, though it does that. It not only gives us a place with God in fellowship, though it does that. But I believe there's a practical outflow of this peace. In other words, when someone has a peace with God, don't you think it should affect the way we live for God? You know, many religions today are based on fear. They have a religious system that basically says, if you do this and this and this and this, then you might go to heaven. The Jehovah's Witnesses have a doctrine that essentially says you have to be a part of the 144,000 or you're not going to make it. And so they work and work and go to the doors and sell the stuff so they can be a part of those who work their way into heaven. There are those theological schools that teach that if you are unfaithful, if you sin, that you will lose your salvation. And in other words, they're in bondage to that fear. There are those that are told only their church can give blessings at birth and at death and at marriage. And if you are outside of that church, there's just no hope because they have the keys, so-called, to heaven. And in these and many other instances, people are living in the sense of fear. They're doing what they do in the sense of bondage. But I thank God tonight that if a Christian understands the love of Christ and the grace of God, then we are here tonight because there's a love for Christ that motivates us, and because there's a peace in our heart that motivates us. And we don't come here tonight so that we can check it off our list and say, oh, I'm not guilty anymore. I'm so glad I got peace because I went to church. I'm going to tell you, that is no way to live. We come here tonight because we already have peace. We already have a place with God, and we like to learn more about him. And we want a fellowship with him. And peace then becomes a practical encouragement for me because I love him and he loves me. And because I'm at peace with him, I want to get to know him better. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. You're not at peace with your spouse, you don't want to spend time together. When you're at peace, you want to be together. And when you have peace with God, it just motivates you to want to spend time with God. So look at the practical side in verse 23. It says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, that peace brings resilience. Peace brings resilience. And we see this resilience in the word continue, that they were being challenged to continue despite their suffering, despite their difficulty. They were challenged to continue on based on the fact that they had peace with God, not in order to get peace with God. Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and you being rooted and grounded in love. There is a resilience, and there is secondly a rootedness in the life of the believer because he's at peace with God. There's a natural rooted growth with God. He's no longer searching for peace with God. He has it. Now that he has it, he can grow with the Lord. Now, the grammar in verse 22 at first may throw us for a bit of a loop. it says, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled. It at first reading may seem like, well, if I continue in the faith, then I'm going to have peace. But there is an architectural image that is given here, grounded and settled. The town of Colossae was located in a region known for earthquakes. This particular vernacular here, where it speaks about being grounded and settled, and notice where it says, not moved away. That word moved away can also be translated earthquake stricken. It speaks about having a faith that's not torn down, having a faith that stands true. And this is the practical side of a continuing faith with the Lord. Paul was saying, if you are truly saved and you are building on the solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will continue growing and you will not move. You will be faithful. In other words, we are not saved by continuing in the faith, but we continue in the faith because we are saved. And so the word if you continue is not saying a predication upon if you do this, then you'll be saved. It's saying that because you are saved, you will continue, you will be grounded, and just like a building that doesn't fall over in an earthquake, your faith is going to be, practically speaking, strong because you're standing on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And it behooves every Christian here tonight to test your own faith and to examine it and to examine yourself as we come to the Lord's table next week and to know in your heart that you are a true child of God, that you have truly been born again. Because I'm going to tell you why some fall down. You remember that song we used to sing in Sunday school? The wise man built his house upon the rock. Let's sing that, all right? Help me with it just if you would for a minute. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The what? Wait. Mr. Brother Fursall. And when you first came, you weren't so dignified. Come on here, brother. All right. I can't wait for the bus workers to get pumped up by Mr. Fuddy Duddy tonight. Come on, brother. Let's be a bus worker. All right. Were you doing it? All right. Schmidt's over there saying, I don't got to do nothing now. All right, now, come on here. Help me with it. Here we go now. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. Amen. All right. Now, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling. Come on, get charismatic with me. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the sand went smash. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessings will come down. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. So build your house on the Lord. Now listen, my friend, that song is as Bible-based as you want to get. Amen. This verse says, if you'll build your life grounded and settled on the truth, that your life and your faith will stand the test and the trials of life. And some of us tonight ought to just pause and say, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you that these years later, I can still be here with you, and not to brag or to glory in what we've done, but just to say tonight that when you're walking with the Lord through trials and you're faithful and you're holding on to the Lord, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and if you're not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached, listen, my friend, that is a testimony to the reality of your faith and your walk with God. Not to be mean tonight, but somebody that just comes in for a while and then just doesn't want to hear the word, and from here to there to nowhere, and never opening the Bible and never praying, no desire to give, no no desire for missions, no desire for the things of God. Hey, I'm telling you right now, there's no practicality to that peace. There's no living out of that walk with God. There's no fruit. There's no evidence of being rooted. But I want to tell you tonight that when we have peace with God that's real, it also becomes practical. And that practicality of that is seen in the fact that we're going to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Grounded and settled. Notice what it says there. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away. I mean, hold on and be faithful to the truth and be sound in the doctrine, rooted and grounded in Christ. And oh, tonight, if you're saved, you have a rooting that's sure and firm. But may we say, Lord, help me to get rooted in your peace. Because the devil is great at disturbing us and bothering us. So Lord, I want to be rooted in your peace. Because what I am, Lord, I'm just a lamb. And I don't know why God calls us sheep, but you've heard it said before that the dumbest creatures on planet Earth. And the devil likes to scare the sheep. And the devil likes to rob the peace. But I got to tell you something. The peace that you have that's based upon the blood of Jesus Christ, he can never take that from you. Amen. And with that thought in your heart, then go out and be rooted and settled and grounded, and don't let the devil push you away, but let those trials bring you nearer and nearer to the Lord. Jesus paid for that peace. You have a position with the Father because of that peace. And practically speaking, we ought to be more rooted and grounded because we know that we have the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for a wonderful service. Thank you for the wonderful peace that you provide. Lord, we could try and try to work and clean up ourselves and earn your favor, but you knew that was impossible. And we just thank you, Lord, that you have made it possible by the blood. And help us never to be ashamed of the blood that you shed. And Lord, we're not here tonight to mystify it and to worship it in a pagan way, but we're here to extol your virtue, and a part of that virtue is the purity of your blood because of the virgin birth, because of the Holy Ghost conception. And so we thank you that your blood paid for the peace that we have. Help us, Lord, then to live a peaceful life with you this week. Help us to tell others about the peace that you provide. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.